The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Sure enough, the ref was over. What's your name? And him talking to me for all match the ref. He's the captain for Trouser up and he's chatting. I'm loving the Paddy set. Paddy Andrews, red card.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
We want to talk about the Lions, and I'm delighted to say Keith Wood is with us. Keith, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Chair. How are you getting on?
Yeah, good. Before we talk about the actual events on the field, I just want to talk a little bit about the stories coming from South Africa. I held up the picture earlier on from the Telegraph. It's of a woman throwing her child to onlookers below from a burning building in Durban. Thankfully, the child was caught and we believe is safe and well. The events in South Africa, the political unrest and the upheaval, at this point, it has yet to have an impact on the tour schedule. But at some point, there's a strong chance that it will have an impact on the tour schedule. What do the Lions do in a situation like this? Do they plough on and continue on because that's what their job is? Or at some point do they say, OK, we need to postpone a game, wait until the situation calms down? What's your instinct?
Yeah, my instinct on it is that the level of violence and disturbance is it's just unbelievably difficult for them to try and make a decision on, and if it impacts and if it's in near any of the grounds, and I think then they have to make a decision. But if it stands at the present moment in time, I think, like in an awful lot of places, they'd be trying to say that when that level of lawlessness is going on, that to stop gives credence to it. So that makes it very difficult for them. So, look, I think the Lions' view down there, I think it's an incredibly complicated tour because of COVID anyway. And I think there are a lot of questions being asked in relation to whether the tour should be going ahead or not. And I think at this point that they're at a stage where they're on tour, they are in safe where they are. They are in an unbelievably tight bubble, apparently, and that the tour should just continue as it is. And because you don't want to kind of give over to different things. And it was interesting listening to an awful lot of the Brian Habana talking beforehand, saying that especially while the country is in such turmoil, anything to try and take your mind away from it is actually a benefit. So, look, I think all these things are incredibly difficult, very complicated. We often say that sport and politics shouldn't mix, but we know that it does. And there have been battles being fought all over the place. So it makes it incredibly difficult. It's incredibly complicated. And from this remove, not having full information for all the reasons behind it, it makes it incredibly complicated still. So I think it has to become part of the crisis management for what the Lions are dealing with anyway. And I'm sure the conversations are having at a high level down there in terms of it. But I think South Africa would want it to go ahead. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, and from a financial perspective, South African rugby, really, the starkness of the difficulties that rugby union is undergoing at the moment has been...
It's harder when you look at... Of course, it's financial, and that's part of it. But when you look at the some of the violence, it's just it's incredibly hard to look at, and to watch, and some of the images are soul destroying. So it's very tough, I think.
Yeah, I don't envy the people making those decisions. Let's in that context talk about what actually happened on the field last night. The A match and the quality of team that Razi Rasmus specifically ended up putting out on the field lent an air of fourth test in the pre-match build-up. That's what people were talking about. It feels like that was exactly what the Lions needed as much as it was what South Africa needed, because at least now the Lions understand, not that they didn't, but this group as a collective understand what their standards are going to need to be if they have any hope of winning a test series.
I think it was a huge shock to the Lions, and I think it was very important for South Africa to pick the team. And I know that there's been comments in some of the papers that this wasn't an A team, this is kind of wrong. Well, it's not wrong. They're there to try and win a series. So they'll do whatever they can do to get their players as much game time as they possibly can. And also because, again, of COVID and some of the restrictions, a lot of those guys have been locked away in a hotel room and haven't been able to train. So I thought the South African performance was excellent. I still don't go with it as being a fourth test. I'm interested in that terminology, but equally listening to the comments of people afterwards, they wouldn't be as philosophical after a game if it had been a test match. It just wouldn't have been. But there was a high level of intensity in it, far higher than we've seen, and radically higher than we've seen actually in the previous weeks. And I do think the Lions tours have to be tidied up in the future, because this idea of not playing players in their provinces and the quality of some of the games are just not good enough. And yes, you do need to ease the Lions into a tour somewhat. And we do know that this is a very unusual tour, but the vast level of difference between the contact, the speed, the line speed between the game last week and the game last night was extraordinary. So I thought it was a really good and interesting game, and I thought there was a high level of physicality in it. And but I don't think that's the level it's going to be at. I think it's going to be significantly higher still.
You mentioned there that the camp were pretty philosophical in the aftermath. Warren Gatland was certainly quite philosophical in his comments. If you were involved in that Lions team, if you were leading them out, would you have been philosophical after that performance?
I would, right. But with one difference. When the Lions talk about they've got it's a little bit of a wake up, and now they needed this test because they needed it to be at that level that they could get themselves up to match speed. That's entirely true, entirely true. And actually, it is of huge value to the Lions, but it's equally of huge value to the South Africans. And that's barely been mentioned about. They haven't played a game. They played one game in 20 months. So to be able to get games in that fashion and to put people under pressure is something they've absolutely needed to do. And for a team that hasn't played any rugby and a team that has been in isolation for a period of time, they came out of the blocks incredibly quickly. It was funny because I looked at the team and then I looked at the setup of some of the game, and I said, were there mind games being played, which we know happen all the time, with the quality of some of the players and especially with the front row? I felt as if South Africa were trying to lull the Lions into the idea that the front row was going to be easy for them. And I thought Dumweba and Naikane weren't up to scratch in the front row. And I don't expect them to show, and I don't expect it to be easy at all. So I think the Lions were kind of let into it and lulled a little bit in that part of the game. Everywhere else the physicality was as you'd expect, but I would expect to see a far improved South African scrum.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see exactly what the team is and what the makeup of the team is and how close the Lions team was last night to being completely first choice versus what we're going to see. I mean, you would expect Tadhg Furlong to come back into the team, but at this stage, Keith, if you're making mistakes, they're the mistakes that are going to be hot in the selection committee / Gatland's head when the decision is being made, right? So on Farrell will be worried, for example.
Yeah, Ger, it's funny. It's looking at selection, and we throw brick bats from time to time at selection and things like that. That's kind of part of what we're supposed to do, but it's not an envious job. You're looking and trying to compare a performance of a player last week against a substandard team to a performance last night against nine of a World Cup final winning team. You know, it's not the same, and it's very hard to, it's why it's hard to have a high level of interest for the first matches, because you've too much time to readjust the ball in your hands to make the nice flat pass to put someone through a gap. That's perfect last week. But last night, the second anybody deliberated over a decision, they got smashed. And so, I do think it makes it tough. I thought Farrell was was very hesitant. And I think he was hesitant because he's been playing championship rugby. He has then moved on to a Lions tour where they're really playing against teams that don't have any line speed or high level of aggression. And he had no time to make a decision. And that forces you to be a bit hurried. And I like, especially in the first half, first 30 minutes, the pack were fairly roundly knocked back. So both Murray and Farrell were under a huge amount of pressure. And they kicked too much, you know. And like, it was telling at one stage after the game for Conor Murray to say, yeah, they expected that there was going to be a lot of kicking from South Africa. Well, did they expect it from themselves? Because they kicked away a huge amount of ball that wasn't won back. And there has to be more. Now, maybe it's the idea of not showing your full hand when you're playing, but you still want to see a little bit more input from the backs. So, look, I think a lot of players will feel a little bit nervous about it. And like you mentioned, Tyke, Furlong has to come in for a variety of different reasons. I think his scrummaging is at a level that the Lions absolutely need. Also, his handling is now, and you can say that Sinclair's handling was excellent last night, and it was excellent last night. The difference between Furlong and Sinclair is that Furlong looks like he's going to absolutely run over you like a rhino, and he'll subtly pass the ball, as opposed to being a pivot 5 yards behind the gain line. So Sinclair maybe took one or two balls into contact. And if he's going to be that playmaker, he has to interest the backs, or the defensive line, before he passes it. Otherwise, people just rush past him and go out. And he's not quick enough to break through the gap. So for me, Furlong in open play does more as well, because if he decides not to pass it and he runs, there's an awful lot taking to stop him, you know?
One of the other things that we don't know about is the players who are injured, how bad the injuries are. Like, you know, is Henshaw being wrapped in cotton wool until the first test because they've seen enough and they know he's going to be able to perform against whatever South African midfield? Or is he actually in danger of missing out? That would be something that's important. Bigger, for example, has an ankle injury sustained in training. That's why we didn't see him last night. Again, have they seen enough and is he now first choice? That's the stuff that it's very hard for us to get a handle on. And I presume Gatland knows in his head the majority of the team at this stage?
I would have said Gatland would have known the majority of the team before the tour started. I'm not going to say it picks itself because it doesn't, but you are looking for test rugby animals. And you're looking then for a couple of people to put their hand up and say, pick me instead, and I'm able to show it. I think, strangely, the training sessions are far more important than some of the earlier games. And we don't know the injuries. We also don't know what's happening with COVID. I mean, I think it has to be the most difficult, stressful tour for coach and players, as in trying to deal with circumstances that are all outside their control. They have as much control that they can put on it, but that control puts everybody in their own room for most of the time. That makes it very hard. You know, apparently some of the meetings are done over Zoom even at different times, and that makes it just incredibly difficult. So, look, I think it's an incredibly unusual tour. I did think we saw some good performances last night. I would have liked a little bit more spark. We're still missing something. And one of the great things of Lions tours are the bolters. It's not that, it's players that may not have been considered a test starter, but when they're given a chance and an opportunity, they shine. It's just hard to view it from the quality of the first couple of games. So the first time we have a big, hard stopping match, who was the star performer? Who was the spark on the Lions team last night? And I don't know that there was one necessarily. I thought a lot of the players played, you know, pretty well, but I don't think anybody shone. So that's something that would be a little bit worrying.
The Faf de Klerk yellow card, was that in reality a red card if it wasn't being refereed by South Africans?
Yeah, I looked at that 3 or 4 times, right? So I'm very hot on this thing. And when I looked at it first, it said red card. Then I listened to the justification to why it wasn't a red card. But it was a red card. You know, this the main contact was not head to head. It was lower. It was a no arm tackle, shoulder charge, but there was a contact with the head afterwards, and there was a bit of force. And so for that, it goes down as a red card, I think. I thought he was magnificent, mind you. You know, all told, I thought he was. I think he is just a class act. I think he brings the game to a different level of energy. And he was himself and Cheslin Colby, the two smallest guys in the field, were the class acts on the field last night.
What else can you do to prevent Cheslin Colby having an overwhelming impact on his tour, other than maybe not kicking the ball straight to him?
Well, not kicking it to him is a really good start. I think that's very important. But not only that, your defensive line, it was interesting. I think Harris has been excellent on tour. And often the problem at 13 and your winger is the trust that you have between them. He rushed up into the line and then stopped about 5 yards short of him. You need to close down that space, and that's easier said than done. And he has the ability to turn you inside out, and you know, I've played against players like that they'll embarrass you, but you nearly rather that they embarrassed you and you've made a really good effort to it. He ended up being on his heels, too flat on the line with Reece Amott, and the second that happened, he was gone. I mean, his ability to step and move and change. I mean, there was one great tackle later on in the match by Mako Vinopola. And I thought he made the tackle because he didn't buy the dummy. And I thought he didn't buy the dummy because it was too quick for him to compute properly. So he just went where he was going ordinarily, made a fantastic tackle. For the backs, they get turned inside out at different times. And if there's any space, he's going to go in through it, even for the tackle by Reece Amott on the line earlier on in the game. He nearly scored from 2 or 3 yards out and there was no space. So it's look, you want to keep the ball away from him, but you also want to cut down the space.
So if you're Harris, you just get into the tackle, you don't really think about it too much, you don't think about the dummy, because either way you're going to end up looking stupid, or there's a chance you're going to end up looking stupid.
Well, it was funny because he did virtually everything right, because he ran up hard in the line and he then stopped, but he needed to not stop. He needed to slow down and try and get him on one shoulder. And as it was, he was too square to him. So he got burned because of that. And there was a link. There has to be a bit of a gap between himself and Reece Amott, but in the defensive line, but they were incredibly flat because of it. And that's why I'm saying I don't know that it's necessarily his fault. It's understanding the player that's outside him. And but you need to be able to close that down and use the touchline really, really well. But you have to get you have to be on his inside shoulder so he can't step back that way. And if he does step back that way, it's somebody else's tackle to make, because he had to have been pushed into touch at that stage.
How do you see the Alan Wynne-Jones situation playing out over the next little while, Keith? I think he's going to be back in training, Gatland was saying, on Monday.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a really interesting one. Look, if his shoulder popped out and popped back in again, it may not have done a huge amount of damage. He may have a fairly lax shoulder anyway. You don't know. If you have a very tight shoulder and it dislocates, it rips everything. If it's a bit lax and he's had a few injuries on it before, it could just be something very small and very minor, and he gets back into it and has recovered very quickly. So by all accounts, he has recovered very quickly. I think it makes it a kind of strange dynamic to deal with. You have a new captain that's in there, but in my view, he would go straight back in as captain, and he would go straight back in to play in the test team if he is fit to do so. For me, he would be a test starter anyway. And Ron O'Gara made a great comment last night. Well, you don't put him on the bench because you want him to go out and put it all in. And if it goes, it goes. That's fair enough. But you don't do that on the bench, because if it goes, it goes. And then you're missing. You have to put a third second row on. So that's not what you need. So, no, I'd have him in there. I think he is a totem figure for the Lions. I think he can deliver for the Lions. And he was the original tour captain. For me, that would be the natural thing to happen.
Is there any concern, if you are on Gatland, about having that conversation with Conor Murray? Now, in fairness, Murray's already come out and said, listen, he's probably going to be captain when he comes back in, and he's taking it well. But as a coach, I wonder, would you be a little bit hesitant or a little bit worried about that conversation?
No, I think he gets over that very quickly. That's a straight conversation to have. There's no tiptoeing around this sort of idea. When we were looking at the original, the day before the Lions was announced, we thought that Alwyn Jones was really the standout guy for captain. Maybe Ken Owens was the second guy. That was it. And so if you have a standout captain, you go with it. And he's done it before and he's comfortable with it. He wears captaincy quite lightly. And I think that's a great attribute to have in such a tense environment. So,
And look, the performance of Murray has come in for sustained criticism in the London Times by Stephen Jones this morning, suggesting that he's no longer worthy of his place in the team. Are you buying that?
Stephen Jones, he writes really well and really annoyingly at times, let's put it that way. So I don't think you level the amount of view that he has and take full credence on it. I thought Murray was below par, without a shadow of a doubt, last night. I thought the pack were beaten to the point of where he was digging an awful lot. It's a very big difference when you watch. Now, there's different styles, but you watch Faf de Klerk and the ball is there and he passes it. Now, he's low to the ground, slung to the ground, and he's just passing straight from the floor. But he's not going in between legs and arms to get the ball half the time. And Murray did a huge amount of that. And for Murray to be very effective, the ball needs to be cleared in there. And he needs to get a lot of encouragement from outside too. And let's not beat around the bush on this too much. He was captaining a side, which I don't know how much he's captained sides before. And so this was a really big, huge day for him. And it wasn't easy for him. You know, his pack were being fairly pummeled for a lot of the first half. In the second half, it picked up an awful lot. But I still felt we kicked too much ball. So I think his game needs to improve, but also the players around him need to improve. That's the nature of it. But he won't be happy with it. And his default is to kick when everything is too slow. Well, I'll tell you, an awful lot's going to be slow against South Africa because they pile guys in there. Mm. You know, from the kickoff.
Not always legally.
No, not always legally, but you have to deal with all of that too. And it's a hard physical battle. It's one of the things that I was struck by Kyle Sinclair again. Would lovely play to get on the outside. That's fantastic. And the Lions absolutely need to do that. But you also have to meet the physical challenge. I don't know that you want to take them on physically. You don't want one-out runners. And I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a fan of the tap and go for 10 penalties on the line. I'd say Ken Owens' left side is black and blue this morning from carrying it in. He was getting absolutely crushed.
Yeah.
The quality of the tackling was incredible and the force of the hits were incredible. But you have to attack the space just outside those players. And it has to be done at pace. You know, so that you can,
okay.
Because you do have to meet the battle. Now, it's not about going up the guts because they win if you do that for the most part.